The sun has set on the 2013 Jaguars season.
You know, from being 0-16 to obviously being one of the hottest teams in the NFL at one point, which is pretty awesome.
This calendar year started with a new direction.
So I'm proud to announce Gus Bradley as our new head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
A rookie head coach with a built-from-scratch football team.
We said, you don't have to set world records, man. You don't have to do that. You just have to be at your personal best.
Gus Bradley infused an energy and a passion.
He who hesitates gets blocked.
The foundation is now set, and the Jacksonville Jaguars are a franchise on the rise.
This is the Jaguars Season in Review. Brought to you by Baptist Health, changing healthcare for good. EverBank, Jacksonville's home for banking, lending, and investing.
The road to success in this room is always under construction. It's always under construction. We're always trying to get better.
Year one of the build is in the books.
Now it's on to phase two for the Jacksonville Jaguars. A 4-12 season in 2013 was the tale of two seasons. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Jaguars Season in Review for 2013. I'm Brent Martineau, along with Jeff Logman, Jaguars analyst, former player. Happy New Year to everyone, by the way. And Jeff, this is a football team that went from one of the worst in the history of the NFL in the first half of the year to one of the best in the NFL for a month.
Well, I don't want to say one of the best, but, you know, one thing you wanted to see was constant, never-ending improvement, and you wanted to see this team get better from from the first half of the season to the second half of the season. You can say that they did. Hey, look, they started out 0-8. Many people said that, hey, look, you're right, this is going to be one of the worst teams in football. But then they turned it around after the bye week, and I give Gus Bradley a lot of credit for the courage that he displayed because, you know, not a lot of coaches would have given his team time off during the bye week, and it worked because all of a sudden they come back after the bye week and they end up 4-4 after the bye. That's impressive.
We sit here in January, too, and we talk about kind of a successful season at 4-12, which is weird, but it does feel different than the last couple of offseasons.
Well, you got to remember where they came from.
That's right.
I mean, well, it was really, I mean, there was talk that this team could be the worst in the National Football League. You know, the first eight losses were almost all of them, I think, were all double-digit losses, you know, so it's warranted. It's warranted to feel good about where they are based on where they came from.
Well, the Jaguars were not built overnight. In fact, this all changed. The direction of this franchise really changed 1 year ago.
Most teams rebuild. The Jaguars are starting over.
We would need really a fresh start and rebuild from the ground up.
New coach. New general manager.
It's a new year, new system.
New building blocks.
We're going to turn this team around.
New identity.
Now that's a cool cat.
New look.
The Jaguar is now on the hunt.
Instead of a rebirth, it's more like a revolution. The New Age Jags, a year that started with a bit of bravado.
Even if he's released.
Now the Jags boast a bit of momentum. Bold, proud, and committed. Expectations growing, almost as big as the new video boards that will fill EverBank Field in 2014.
While we talk about some of the excitement, we have new video boards at EverBank Field going up. The Jaguars have the third pick in the draft, and quite frankly, I'm not sure anybody has any idea which way Dave Caldwell is going to go in May in the draft. And then the excitement, just the energy that these players are feeling, that Gus Bradley has brought to this organization, I think everyone can feel it. Fans, even from outside the city of Jacksonville, people can
feel it. You know what they're feeling, Brent? To me, they're feeling the positive energy of the head coach and that culture that he's built. And look, he's going to have to rebuild this culture for the next couple of years because this roster is going to end up turning over. But I give him credit because that's the most important thing that you have to establish as a head coach is the energy and the direction. And it's clear that the Jaguars have strong leadership in Gus Bradley.
Well, he did something that I think that at least the last couple of years we didn't see as strongly, and that is players bought in. They loved playing for this guy. They just like being a part of this franchise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know what, Brent? I think the players showed that because there's a lot of coaches that would have lost a football team having started the way they did at 0-8. But this team stuck together. They kept going to work every day. And Gus Bradley stuck by his principles. And that's hard to do as a coach when it's not working.
Well, the guy that hired him is Dave Caldwell, the Jaguars general manager. He was hired first by Shad Khan. And then Gus Bradley was hired by Dave Caldwell and Shad Khan. It was about a 10-hour meeting, as we understand it. And bingo, the relationship between these two guys is the difference. And you start hearing from different organizations. I saw something in Seattle this past week. That relationship between the general manager and the head coach is so important.
It is. It's got to be a working relationship that can happen every day. You know, and I'm a people watcher, and I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again because this is really what I believe. You have to have a general manager and a head coach that are on the same page. And from the body language that I see with these two guys when they're walking in the hallways, whether they're talking in private or they're on the field, whether it be game day or practice field day, they work together. And they have almost like a healthy relationship because they understand where they want to go and which each of them wants out of each other. So I like it. I mean, and I don't know if we've had that in a long time. You know, and I think that's been one of the biggest obstacles for this franchise is that relationship hasn't been healthy in the past.
Well, there are a lot of glass doors and windows now at Jags headquarters, and Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell's offices are right near each other. I'll tell you a little bit about that relationship.
They don't have glass windows in the coach's office, though, Brad. That's all kept a little bit secret.
Well, you have to keep secret because of that offense, Jed Fish, the offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. We saw some evolution, I guess is the right word, in that offense in the second half. It was creative and fun.
You know, and if you point to one game in which it probably really happened to where you could just say, okay, there's the Jed Fish that we all heard about. It was the Cleveland game in which they utilized Ace Sanders in so many different ways, including this pass right here in which he became a passer. I mean, Ace Sanders is a passer. I give Jed Fish a lot of credit because he utilized different guys in different ways. And, hey, this offense didn't have any stability whatsoever at different position groups. But Jed Fish was able to utilize whatever he had.
Well, and then the defense. Gus Bradley is a defensive guy in an offensive world, in football all over the place, especially in the NFL. But he brings that Seattle defense, which is different than anything else anybody does. And he at least installed the first part of that Seattle-type defense this year.
Well, the mentality is that it's very aggressive, and they're going to play a lot of different guys. They're going to get up in your face at the corner positions and try to find a way to bring pressure. They've played a lot of different people. They still have a long way to go in acquiring talent to improve that defense. But at about the midpoint of the season, they made a big jump. And that big jump occurred, and I'm not trying to give all the credit in the world to a guy that was elevated from the practice squad, but Ryan Davis made a big difference when they started playing that lightning package. That lightning package paid off for him.
We learned about that lightning package.
But see, that's another perfect example of how the coaches found ways to best utilize the talent that they had. I'm excited for the future because once they get better talent, can you imagine what this lightning package could become?
Yeah, it should be fun to watch.
Could be exciting.
All right. Well, there are different ways to feel the direction of a football team. Wins and losses, obviously. But here in Jacksonville, the Jaguars gained respect because of admiration league-wide for their head coach. Dan Hicken has more on the ride we are all taking on the Gus Bus.
Do your job!
Those words, our first look at Gus Bradley. Our second was at his introductory press conference.
It kind of is exciting. You got to admit, right? You're coming in here and you're trying to develop this team. And let's see what we got. And I know we got draft picks and there's an owner that's saying, let's go. And you know what? Yeah. Let's do it right.
Affable, friendly, and positive. Oh, so positive. Gus Bradley began a culture change almost immediately.
42-10 beating of the still winless Jacksonville Jaguars.
And he didn't waver from his convictions despite this. Loss after loss, historically bad, and folks wondering out loud if Bradley could get it done.
The reason I took this job was I have so much conviction on the process. And it's a commonly used word, I think, for us. But I think you have to. And I know that your process or your culture is going to be challenged.
Then suddenly a win against the Titans in Tennessee. And another over Houston.
We got it! Let's go!
Cecil Shorts doing his job against Cleveland. And the Jags won their third in a row on a Thursday night in Jacksonville. Still, Bradley didn't talk about the wins.
But it's that easy. We said you don't have to set world records, man. You don't have to do that. You just have to be at your personal best. That's all you got to do, week in and week out.
Gus Bradley told his football team to be bold in 2013. He was finding ways to win football games, but understanding the process had only just begun.
Thanks to Dan Hicken for that, and right on the money with Gus.
Well, he's a special individual, and it's fun being around him.
Well, Gus did his job. Now this time of year, Dave Caldwell needs to be the rock star. Plus, we say goodbye to a Jags great and maybe another.
Coming up on the Jaguars season in review. On the field, the season may be over, but Dave Caldwell's work is just getting started.
All-Star game, Senior Bowl, East-West game, and then you go into the combine and then the private workouts and the interviews. There's a lot to be done.
Dan Hicken sits down with the Jags decision maker. And
I'm John Osier, and in the final Ozone of the year, I'm going to tell you why 2013 was a mix of the strange and the good.
Plus, the top five plays of 2013. That's all next on the Jaguars Season in Review.
This is the Jaguars Season in Review.
Oh, they got me mic'd up today. First time in my NFL career.
You got the bump on me, baby.
The Jaguars force the bump on the side.
Is Vic calling it? Okay. You got a 50-50 chance.
That's some fun stuff. Jags Wired, part of our Jaguars coverage all season long. And you can see more of that, by the way, on Jaguars.com. I'd like you to check that out. That's pretty fun. Welcome back here to the Jaguars season in review for 2013. I'm Brent Martineau. Jeff Lagerman rejoins us in just a moment. It is time to talk about Dave Caldwell. We bring Dan Hicken back into the mix here. And Dan sat down with the Jags GM in his office last fall to talk about the draft and the day-to-day life of a general manager.
These eyes have to see what others can't. Dave Caldwell focuses on finding football players.
It's a great responsibility.
To find the right mix, the right chemistry.
230 transactions, roughly, give or take, and counting.
Because he had to set the tone this first year, establish the franchise's culture of continuous improvement.
The motto of our organization, and that's Shad's motto. That's my belief, and that's Gus's belief.
And now the players believe it, too.
It doesn't matter if we're down by 25 points or up by 25 points. They're going to go attack it the same way.
Caldwell attacks the video screen daily. On Mondays and Tuesdays, he's looking at the team's next opponent with a list in hand.
They're upcoming free agents and, you know, guys that may be restricted free agents or guys that could be salary cap casualties.
Then he's on the road the rest of the work week. We all remember seeing him in Louisville earlier this season.
That was the most publicized trip of my fall, but I've been out almost every week, you know, going to see schools.
And quarterbacks. It's no secret the Jags are in the market for that franchise guy, but Caldwell says it's way too early in the process.
All-Star game, Senior Bowl, East-West game, and then you go into the combine and then the private workouts and the interviews. There's a lot to be done.
But we think we know who the top guns in the country are, from Bridgewater to Boyd, from McCarron to Manziel. Know this, the Jags GM has already seen many of these young men in person and will answer some of the same questions we have about them.
AJ, you just have to figure out, is it because of AJ or is it because he's with a great team?
Will Aaron Murray's knee injury affect his draft status?
It's not a complete death blow to him, but I think he'll probably get drafted right where his value was supposed to be.
The work on the field is done for the football team this year. Now Caldwell and scouting staff will put hours into the film room to improve the future of the Jaguars. For Jaguars Season in Review, I'm Dan Hicken.
Thanks a lot, Dan. Dave Caldwell is good at his job. He's young, one of the youngest GMs in the league at 38 years old.
And the most important job in the franchise lies in his hands. The lifeblood of any NFL franchise is the talent acquisition, and that's in Dave's office. I mean, that's right there in his wheelhouse.
And then you have to make the decisions on guys. Guys like Maurice Jones-Drew, one of the most important guys in franchise history. His future up in the air, they are going to let him hit the free agent market.
Well, because I think there's a difference of opinions on values. You know, Maurice probably still sees himself as a franchise back, and I don't have a problem with that. You know, he didn't have a full offseason to rehabilitate. Most of that time was spent trying to get the foot feeling better just to where he could run. The franchise probably is looking at the numbers in which he produced this past year and saying, oh, well, that's not a franchise number. So I get that, you know, and the only way to really make both parties happy is in that instance is to allow Maurice to go to free agency and then see what happens.
Mojo understands it's a business. Admirable job by him in 2013 with all the injuries.
No, you never questioned Maurice's heart or effort.
Or toughness. How about quarterback now? Chad Henne, free agent. It's a priority, we believe, to re-sign him. Blaine Gabbert, still one more year left, and he's coming back at least for now.
Yeah, and I think the first question you gotta answer is, what are you going to do with Chad Henne? You know, and there's other veteran quarterbacks that will be available, so you want to find out what the price tag is going to be for Chad Henne. But I expect the Jaguars to either bring back Chad Henne or to find another veteran guy that will be comparable to Chad's results. Now, with Blaine Gabbert, I think that in the future, you know, that's a big question mark. You know, is he a guy that you keep because he doesn't cost a lot of money? Maybe. Is he a guy that you trade to get some more draft picks? Maybe. The only one person knows that, and that's general manager Dave Caldwell.
And then, of course, there is the draft in May.
They're going to draft
him. And a lot of people want quarterback in the early rounds. We'll see what Dave Caldwell does.
Most important position on the team.
Well, you know
that. You
got to
have one.
No doubt. In the NFL, you have to have a good one if you want to win and get to the promised land. Sendarek Marks, what a sensational season he had. Re-signed right before the end of the year, four-year deal. Worth about $20 million. I mean, that's a good signing for Dave Caldwell before he hit the market.
Well, I'm thinking of it from Sendarek's perspective.
That's a good signing for him.
He gambled, right? I mean, a one-year deal to kind of approve it, you know, and it worked out good for him because he came from Tennessee where he was a one technique. He came here, he's a three technique, and he produced. And good for him because I like him. He's just got a real strong personality in the locker room, much like Gus.
I thought from the start of training camp all the way through the year, he was such an impact player all season long. All right, well, the Jags had their share of adversity in 2013. One of the things was all the travel we endured. The most challenging road schedule in franchise history included 5 different time zones, 2 different countries, and a game at Wembley Stadium.
When you think of London, a lot comes to mind. Big Ben, the royal family, the Rolling Stones. This week, London and the NFL come together.
Go Jags!
The globalization of the Jaguars and the city of Jacksonville is underway.
This is a business mission for us that has a football game at the end.
This is more than a football game. London is calling. Stand United has arrived in the United Kingdom. That was the setup to London Week. 6 days overseas was as unique as it gets. Practice on the countryside. Parties in the big city. A midweek move. And a collection of cultures.
The pitch of Wembley? I don't even know what that is.
I know y'all can't understand my accent. I know I can't understand y'all accent, so.
The Jags playing in London was certainly a big deal. Trafalgar Square looked like Times Square on the eve of the football game. Fans that love football and fans that now love the Jaguars. It was quite a welcome to Wembley. It was an event, a showcase for our city and our football team. The scoreboard didn't look good for the Jags on that Sunday, but the result of the first Jags trip to London will not be measured by touchdowns. The globalization of Jacksonville and the Jaguars started in 2013.
That was a very cool trip. November 2014, the next time the Jags go to London, and they will play against the Dallas Cowboys. We have to take a timeout on the Jags season in review show when we return the top 5 plays in the 2013 season. Plenty to choose from coming up next.
This is the Jaguars season in review.
In 14 years, it's hard to believe it's kind of finally come. It was great to have my family here. I guess I get to say goodbye to them on the field for the last time today. Thank you.
No, thank you, Brad Meester. One final goodbye for number 63. What a career for one of the good guys in all of sports. 14 years in the Jags jersey. Brad has retired. It was a nice send-off, too, in the home finale against the Titans. Welcome back here to the Jaguars season in review. Speaking of good guys, okay, good writers. It's one last trip to the Ozone to wrap up the 2013 campaign. Here is John Osier from Jaguars.com.
I'm John Osier with the final 2013 Ozone question. And no real question today, just to look back as we wrap up the Jaguars' 2013 season. And make no mistake, the season was a mix of the good and the strange, with a lot of the strange coming on All Access. And the good? Well, as the first season under Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell wore on, more and more of the good came from the Jaguars on the field. The Jaguars improved in the second half of the season, and they made real strides, significant strides. The running and passing offense found legs in the second half. A simplified defense got people stopped, and before a slew of injuries hit in December, early season angst among fans had evolved into, wait for it, playoff talk. And that faded with a late season losing streak. But what didn't fade was the optimism around this organization. the Jaguars entered the season with one overriding goal. That was to establish a new culture, one defined by Bradley's daily focus on improvement and competition. No doubt that happened. Around a lot of the league, the second half of the season was marked by disarray and disappointment. That cost some head coaches their jobs. The Jaguars in the second half of the season, during the winning and during the final 3 weeks of the season, they remained a competitive team, a focused team. That didn't result in a winning record, but it did result in a foundation that can produce winning, competitive playoff-type winning in the not-too-distant future.
I think that echoes just what everybody else feels, too, about it. The Jags going forward, arrow is definitely up.
Well, you would like to think so. And, the one person that I give a lot of credit for is John Osher, because he does have a very good big-picture understanding of where football teams are at, so I give him a lot of credit.
And he gets nailed
I mean, he's not my favorite guy at times, but Johnny overall is pretty good. All right, let's take a look at the season's top plays from this past year.
Number five, Maurice Jones-Drew with the first passing touchdown in franchise history from a non-QB.
Great job of play design by Jed Fish. Everybody thought Maurice was going to get it on third and short, and no, it's a pass to his college teammate from UCLA.
Pretty good toss, too. Play number four. It's from the first win of the season. Will Blackman with a stat sheet stuffer. Sack strip recovery touchdown against the Titans.
The quadfecta. And this play really ignited this team in the second half. This was their first win. That closed the door in Tennessee.
And they won four out of five in that stretch. Play number three. When Paul Posluszny retires, this pick six of Peyton Manning will be one of his fondest memories.
Gonna tell his grandkids, right? Holy cow, to pick Peyton Manning off and take it in for a touchdown. Paul Posluszny, a great example of hard work and conditioning to be able to finish that play strong.
Play number two. A week after Mojo threw for a touchdown, A. Sanders says, anything you can do, I can do better.
Whoa, holy cow. It's almost like the fake bubble screen, right? We saw it a whole bunch to A. Sanders, but he catches it, throws it to Jordan Todman on the backside at home against the Texans. You gotta love that.
And play number one, Cecil Shorts III beats Joe Hayden for the game-winning touchdown. But what made this one special, it was in his hometown.
Well, and it made it special because he didn't start the game very well, and then he beats a Pro Bowl cornerback with a double move for the game winner at Cleveland in his hometown, like you said. Perfect situation, perfect scenario, great way to come back strong.
It was nice to have some plays to talk about, and it's been a lot of fun. We have to take one more timeout before we run out of time. When we get back, the theme of the next 4 months, the draft, wishes, needs, desires, all unveiled next.
This is the Jaguars Season in Review.
Oh, we had so much fun. We're out of time, Jeff. What's next?
Well, next is free agency and then the draft.
Thanks for joining us on the Jag Season in Review.